Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you are able to join me for these next few minutes as we continue on in a message, Kingdom Principles in Finances. And what we'd like to do today is take a look at the concept of the tithe. According to definition, the tithe, as was recorded under the Old Covenant and the commands that the Lord gave to the Israelites, that tithe was a tenth of the produce or property for the support of the priesthood or for other religious objectives. So this part of a person's income, the tenth, had a specific purpose. And why did God allow such a thing as the tithe? Because He wanted to teach the people of the importance of generosity, of not holding on to what they possessed, that the understanding that everything they had belonged to God. So He wanted that their heart would understand that there was a beauty in obeying the Lord and joyfully giving to Him what He had blessed them with. But also, we see that the priesthood, the tribe of Levi, had no inheritance. They were not designated in a particular area in the land of Canaan as the other 11 tribes, because their inheritance was the Lord's. And so God, in His mercy and His compassion and kindness, He cares for all of us so well that He wanted to make sure that the priesthood would have enough support so they could continue on unhindered, unfettered in their religious duties that God had established. And when we look at the principle today, you might say, Sister Glass, don't you know there's no tithe mentioned in the New Testament? Yes, I understand there is no literal mention of the tithe. However, we're going to get into that, what God expects under the Old as well as under the New Covenant. Under the Old Covenant, they were expected to bring a tithe of their produce or of their cattle, and that was obligatory. Now, some might object, and I know actually some people that don't believe in tithing under the New Covenant, that we can just give as we choose to give. However, as we have been sharing these several days on Kingdom Principles, that God is looking at the motivation of the heart. He wants to make sure our heart is free and clear of covetousness and greed. And so for a mature son of God, or even for one who isn't, I know as a baby Christian, I had no problems in tithing. I had never tithed before. The church I'd been in didn't teach that when I was a child, and then I walked in the ways of the world for many years. So I had no problem with that because I love the Lord. And that was something, was my way of expressing my love and obedience for all that He had done in my life. Now, I'd like to take a moment to read the third chapter in Malachi, verses 8 through 10. Familiar passages, preachers love to use this for the very subject I'm on of finances, but the Lord speaks specifically to Israel. He asks, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Why? Because that was a specific commandment, and they were disobeying. And you know what it said in Deuteronomy? If they would obey, there would be blessings. If they disobeyed, there would be curses. So that's why the Lord said that through Malachi. And in verse 10, he said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. And if that wasn't enough, he goes on further, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, that's old covenant. However, it's true today. As we will honor the Lord with our finances, not only will the windows of heaven be open, but also the work of the enemy, that work of the devourer, which seeks to rob, steal, kill, and destroy, will be cut off. The enemy will not be able to destroy the fruits of our labor, material possessions. There will be a hedge round about us, even as it was for Job. Remember, the devil couldn't attack Job until God removed that hedge. That's what Satan charged God with. Well, you put a hedge round about him. Everything he does is prosperous. So God removed that for the purposes of demonstrating he would have a man on the earth who would love and serve him regardless of the material blessings that he had enjoyed up until that time. So in Malachi, we see that there's a stern command by the Lord that if they wanted to be blessed, the Israelites, they needed to do that. Let's go, however, to the very first mention of the tithe. And beloved, that's quite interesting because this first mention was before the law was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. God was clearly telling Abraham when there was he went after to retrieve his nephew Lot and had the battle of the five kings. He returned from victory over the Mesopotamian kings, the five kings, and it says he gave 10% to Melchizedek. Now, there is a reference in the book of Hebrews regarding that. Let me just turn to it. And in that book of Hebrews, as we go to the 7th chapter, let me read it, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. And it goes on, but basically many scholars, theologians, believe that is the pre-incarnate Christ. Verse 4 says, now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And I'm going to read verse 5, and verily they that are of the sons of Levi, remember we read that, who received the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they came out of the loins of Abraham. So basically, God commanded the people to give a tithe, and he commanded the Levites to take a tithe so that the priesthood could be supported and carry out all their priestly functions and duties. As some of my people might say today, well, you know, they like to keep their pastor poor. You know, no problem. Let him work a full-time job or her work a full-time job and then try to minister. Beloved, you know what the apostles said when they the original apostles in the early church had to be involved with waiting on tables. That's when they said, we need to give ourselves to prayer and a study of the word, and that's when deacons were appointed. So, beloved, those who are in ministry, full-time ministry, who are pastors, evangelists, they need to be supported by the free will offerings of God's people that they can continue their ministry. If you go to a church, if no one is going to give to the church, how is that church going to keep its doors open? How are the needs going to be met? The PG&E and the electric and all the things that pertain to the running of a physical building so that you can enjoy the services. Well, beloved, you give, and that the offerings you give, the tithes you give, are utilized so that not only the needs of the pastor could be met, but also that the work of the ministry can be ongoing. There's so many things. It's just like a household. How many things do you have? You've got a lot of things that you have to take care of. So it is in the house of the Lord. And so God requires each of us not merely random giving, you know, just the whim or impulse of the moment, but He wants from us as New Testament believers a commitment of a definite covenant with Him that should be reached with Him about the matter. It's a matter of personal dedication, beloved. Now, in the New Testament, as far as the law of giving, basically we're to hold nothing to ourselves. Everything we have is God's, so if He should require all of it, well, then He has the right to it, does He not? However, He knows we need to live in this world, and He graciously allows us to have our needs met. But one, I have known so many Christians over the years, what they do is they set aside the tithe, and that goes first of all to the work of the Lord. And many of you could be struggling. You say, I don't think I can do that. But you know what? If you will step out in faith, God alone will honor it. He knows your circumstances. He knows your financial condition. And it's a matter of trusting God. Is He your God? Is He going to care for you? Is He going to supply for you? And the answer is, of course He will. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Praise God. Well, I have more to share, but my time is drawing to a close, and so as we bring this broadcast to a close and conclude this week's worth of broadcasting on this station, we will continue next week as the Lord directs and develop further the things that I have yet to share with you. Thank you so much for joining me. I want to thank you for your prayer support with all my heart, for whatever financial gifts you can send our way, UCM, that we can continue on this station. God knows the need, and He will bless you for it. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining me. And until next week, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.